You're listening to The Dice Men Cometh, proudly sponsored by Area 52, Tasmania's largest independent pop culture retailer. Find them at 104 Elizabeth Street, Hobart, or online at area52.com.au.
The Dice Men Cometh!
Well, here we are back in the studio for Thursday night, because we've got nothing better to do on Thursday nights here in cold, dark Hobart on the shortest day of the year, boys.
Oh, that means it's only 6 months to my son's birthday, because he's the 21st of December.
Ah.
The 21st. Interesting. Exactly.
So it is the 21st of June, as Garth has pointed out, and it is episode 217 here on Edge Radio 99.3 FM. With the Dice Men Cometh, I'm Mark.
I'm Garth.
I'm Leon.
And look, we're getting straight into the show tonight because we have got so many things to talk about. We are going to, after recapping some little bits of BorderCon, mainly talking about the Kennerspiel des Jahres, this week we're going to go a whole lot more into BorderCon, what happened there, what were some of our most amazing experiences, and maybe some not so good ones.
Some could even say we're going to use our minds to talk about some games.
I like it.
That'll all make sense after the break, I dare say.
I'm sure it will. We're going to talk about some of the best games we played, some of the worst, some of the surprises we had, some of the amazing people we met.
Some of the vomiting that
We're not going to talk about that at all.
Oh, aren't we?
No.
Leon and I aren't, but Mark might.
Yeah. No, we definitely won't.
Okay, fair enough.
So we're going to talk about all that and a whole lot more. And, of course, we're sponsored again by our fabulous friends at Area 52. They look after us so well, and they'll look after you if you go into 104 Elizabeth Street, Hobart, to get your board games, your card games, your jigsaw puzzles, your books, your anime, manga, posters,
Funko Pop
vinyls, and all those things.
And Dr. Pepper. They've got Dr. Pepper as well.
And, of course, tell them that you came in because you were listening live on Edge Radio 99.3 FM to The Dice Men Cometh. We'll be back shortly.
Great little tune there, choked out by the Mountain Goats on Edge Radio 99.3 FM, my continuing quest to subliminally turn this podcast into a wrestling podcast, because that was off an entire album based off professional wrestling.
What a surprise.
I haven't heard any of that.
So, Garth, you're going to talk to us about things, about some sort of games to do with our minds. People will get that in a second.
Exactly. Well, we're not going to talk about one single game.
No.
We will have to engage our minds because we will be talking about two games that involve minds. But the first one is a game called The Game.
Right.
Which is officially the worst game to try and find on Board Game Geek, just so you know.
Well, and Google, if you ever tried to Google the card game The Game.
Do you have to use your mind when you're trying to find the game, or when you're playing the game, do you need to use your mind as well?
Don't mind Leon.
Right.
I think that's the easiest way
to do it. That is the most logical thing that has been said in the last 30 seconds. All right,
correct.
Continue.
But I will use my mind more when we talk about the mind after we've talked about the game. So the game, of course, is a game that involves cards numbered 1 through to 98 for the most part. Now, this game that's called The Game came out several years ago in about 2015, I think you'll find, by a little designer called Stefan Bendorf. And it got a bit of praise from newer gamers. It got a bit of what the hell is this from seasoned gamers.
Yeah.
And it sort of just trucked along for a little while. The good thing about The Game is that if you know that numbers start at one, because we all know that zero is not a number, and then you also know that there is no greater number than 100,
no,
because everything above that is divisible by 100 or something smaller.
That's just gibberish and nonsense, really, isn't it?
Then you pretty much know everything that you need to know about the game.
Right.
Because in this game, 1 to 5 intrepid people who sit around a table will simply try to get rid of this deck of 98 cards. And in that deck of 98 cards, Leon...
Yes.
And I will go through every card just to make sure nothing's missed.
Okay.
There's a card number 2.
Right.
And then a 3.
Yes.
And then a 4.
Righto.
I might skip a few and save the, you know...
There was a 7 suspense in there somewhere.
There's probably a 7. But needless to say, after your 2, 3, 4, there's a bit of a gap and it might finish 96, 97, 98 and maybe even 99.
But Garth, is there a 60 two in the deck?
Well, there is. I mean, that was the year. Okay, that's both.
So. Not quite.
So, look, in this game, you will start with four face-up cards. You will have two number one cards face-up, and you'll have two 100 cards face-up. The number ones will have some arrows pointing up on them. The number 100s will have arrows pointing down on them. And that will make sense because on your turn, after you've been dealt, you know, a number of cards, depending on the number of players, each player will simply have the choice of, I need to play at least two cards. The cards in my hand are unique because you'll be the only one who has those particular numbers in your hand. And you want to place them in either ascending order from 1 up to 100 or descending order from 100 down.
But as you said before, the arrows make sense because there is no number under 1 and there is no number above 100.
That is correct.
So the arrows are kind of superfluous, to be perfectly honest. But yeah.
Well, look, I have a feeling that the reason there are two artists credited to this game...
Really?
...has There's probably art. Something to do with the fact that maybe one did some arrows. I have absolutely no idea and I've
oh,
certainly
that,
not
the
researched
arrow guy.
It.
Oh.
But... I believe it's a bit of a family connection because there is both Oliver and Sandra Frudenreich.
Maybe one did the up arrow and one did the down arrow.
That's what I reckon.
I'm sure Frudenreich's just like Smith in the country of their birth.
So, on my turn, I've got 6, 7, or 8 cards, depending on the number of players. I have to play at least two of them down. And if I have high-numbered cards, I'd probably want to put them on the 100 stack and start chipping away and going from 100 down to 0. If I had the lower-value cards, I'd want to start smallest and go on the 1 and straight up. And the game itself, which is called the game, doesn't sound particularly interesting, but the one sort of wrinkle in all of this is that, say I am on the 100 deck going down, and let's just say, for example, that there is a face-up 78 card. You know, cards yes. have gone down from 100 down to 78.
Yes.
I have 88. What am I going to do with that? Well, I can play that on that deck because it is exactly 10 higher or 10 in the wrong direction,
yeah.
which will allow me to reverse the direction of that particular stack.
So then you'd be able to play any cards from 89 up.
Correct. And that is where you get a little bit more strategy because this is a completely cooperative game. You are allowed to say almost anything that you would like, including friendly conversation, but you just can't say what exact numbered cards yeah. you are holding.
Hmm.
And I've just described the game for you, expert.
I suppose that's the crux of the game.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, when we sat down to play the game...
At Games Lab.
At the Games Lab Bar. Was it called... Games at Lab or something like that. It had a funny, funky name on the wall. But anyway, it's the bar underneath Games Laboratory store in Melbourne. The big question was, is there actually a game in the game, The Game? And I think we answered that question after our first play, maybe. So you and I played two-player, Garth.
We did, yes.
And there wasn't much of a game in the game.
Not in the two-player
game, two-player version of the game.
Correct.
But then
yes.
a bit of personality was injected into
exactly
it.
Exactly right. So we got rid of the smarts and we brought in personality. And it became more interesting because not only did we have Leon.
Hey. Yeah. Hello, everyone. I'm Leon.
We also had a gentleman by the name of Rowan.
We had Rowan Morris who yeah. did us the very good deed of coming all the way in to the city of Melbourne from somewhere outside the city of Melbourne. Who's Rowan, you ask?
I mean, we did come from Tasmania, so technically, I mean, we won. That
yeah, well, Rowan is an up-and-coming young game blogger, Facebooker, Instagrammer, and I believe he's even working on a podcast.
Yes, and otherwise known as a reviewer
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, we might get some, executive producer credit on that maybe because, you know, we've given him some advice. But, yeah, Rowan was kind enough to come in, play a game with us, play the game with us. Mm. And I certainly felt like as with four players, it was definitely more of a game in the game.
Correct. It must be said, we didn't win, but we came bloody close because yeah. the way your scores will be tabulated at the end is really the number of cards left in your hands.
Yeah.
And that's your score. You want to get the sort of smallest number as possible.
And I think in the instruction book it talked about if you get sort of anywhere... was it 15 or less or 13 or less? Or, you know, if you get down in those figures, then you've done quite well. And I think there's even a little table that tells you maybe gives you stars for how you did.
Point is, we didn't win, Mark. Don't try and make yourself feel better, but we did well.
Yes. Well, there are degrees of losing in this game, I think.
And the most important thing is, well, the thing that people would know this game the most for is that it was... Did it win? I know it was nominated.
No, it was nominated for the 2015 Spiel. Yeah.
So it was, according to that year, apparently, it was in the top three of those type of games. And
family.
And that's the thing. You look at what is a bit of criteria for the SDJ, and it certainly fits that. It is easy to pick up. It's easy to teach. A family could play it. Ooh. And look, our experience with four players, it certainly was fun.
Yes. It must be said that... In looking at this game previously and researching it when it was nominated in 2015, I looked at it and went, that looks bloody stupid. In the description that we've been doing for the last 5 minutes, it sounds bloody stupid. Actually playing it, I enjoyed it a lot more than I ever expected to. In the sense that if I saw this for like $15, I probably would buy it.
Yeah, there you go.
And I wouldn't be playing it every other day, no, but once every now and then I could see this happening.
And the fun, for me, the fun is in the communication of how do I get across, you know, which stacks I want to go on and which stacks are okay, and then vaguely where in the 1 to 100 spectrum my cards might be without saying I've got a card.
Exactly.
52.
Now, it does say that you're allowed to go, hey, team member, I would really appreciate it if you don't add any more cards to this particular column. So you can be really quite overt.
Yeah.
And the rules are, you know, they basically say as long as you don't say what cards you're holding, it's open for interpretation.
But you can also house rule this as well and say that, like, you can't specifically say that. You can kind of give yourself any handicaps that you want.
Yeah.
So simply that, like, you know, you cannot tell somebody, but maybe if they go to put a car down, you could maybe go...
Yeah, well, by then it's too late. But let's talk and make a little bit of a diversion from the game
right.
to something that you just sort of referenced then a little while ago, Leon, which is something stupid.
Right.
do we really want to do this?
And we're going to switch tack and talk about The Mind.
Right.
Now,
Nominated for the 2017.
This year's SDJ.
18.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Wow, you have had a lot of time off, Leon, haven't you?
Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing.
So The Mind by Wunderkind of the Spiel this year, Wolfgang Worsch, who's got three games in this year's awards, the Spiel and the Kennish Spiel. The Mind is basically taking the almost exact same concept, but it's always you are starting from the lowest number up. That concept and removing the ability to communicate from it. And it is very explicit because this is a game that's done in levels. You'll each start on level one, which means you'll each get one card each, and you will try to all place those in ascending order without any form of communication. Now,
or at least no verbal communication.
No. So, and I'll read this straight from the page on BGG. Collectively, you must play these cards into the centre of the table on a single discard pile in ascending order, but you cannot communicate with one another in any way as to which cards you hold. You simply stare into one another's eyes, and when you feel the time is right, you play your lowest card.
Well, there's the fun.
Now, this game, probably unlike a lot of others, has got no one that just says this game, oh, it's a bit of fun. People either really don't like it, and people really, really, really like it. And you will find reviewers on both ends of those spectrums, but it's not a game that people play and go, it was okay.
Very polarizing.
Now, I think it's pretty fair to say that the three of us are in the same boat in that. Or are we?
Is that the good ship? What a load of rubbish.
Yeah. But the key for this is that you just stare into each other's eyes, and I don't think that's how the majority of people play it, which means the way that this game is fun for a lot of people is it's already being house-ruled.
Yeah.
Because instead of just staring and let me just, you know, let's just get it out there and let's just play a quick round. Here we go. Yep, that was it. And we either won or lost. But I don't think that's how the majority of people are playing it. They're not just staring at each other and looking and not making any form of verbal or physical tick or hint or anything, they are doing that, which would be, you know, raising the eyebrows and going, well, who wants to go first?
Which is against the rules
exactly
of the game.
Exactly against the rules of, not no, the no, game, the
mind.
The game
no, the mind,
fine,
the mind.
But the mind, it's completely destroyed.
Right.
So my issue with the mind is that if you play it at its purest form, which we certainly did, I had no fun whatsoever.
Yeah.
Now, you play this over 8 or 10 or 12 rounds. So you start with one card each. If you win, you then get two cards each because you're up to level 2, and then you go up and up and up and up and up, and you will continue to get the number of cards in your hand equal to the level that you're on. You do also get shurikens.
You get lives.
For some reason, there are shurikens in here, which basically mean some player can lift one up and go like that, not say anything. Yeah. But if every single player agrees, then a shuriken is played, and that means every player can get rid of their lowest card.
No, you can only shuriken one card.
Yes.
Can't you?
I thought it was your lowest card.
No, I thought it was only one card from one player.
This game has no rules, and so you guys can't get them right.
Well, Mark's going by memory.
I don't know. Well, that's how... Look.
The point of this is that this game is SDJ nominated.
Yeah.
It is a game that is very similar to the game, but attempts to use your mind, which all games do, but it removes any form of communication ability when played correctly and to the rules.
Right. So I just wanted to talk about this quickly because I didn't play it. I didn't get the chance to. Not because you guys told me, garbage, don't. I just never had the chance to. But I do... I mean, it's more of an activity than a game.
Oh, definitely.
But I am glad that it exists in our hobby for the simple fact that I like experimenting, I like things that make you think, and obviously it's called the mind for a reason. And as I said, some people really, really, really like it. Like, I know the Shut Up and Sit Down guys were huge on it.
Yes.
Nearly every other review I've seen has said it was absolutely rubbish, but that's beside the point. I'm glad that there is stuff like this and experimenting out there. We don't want to be doing the same thing over and over again. That being said, the whole point of it being nominated for a thing like the Spiel is that those games are supposed to have mass appeal, and they're supposed to also bring new families and new people into the hobby and things like that. And I don't know how someone can explain to me this game has mass appeal.
Well, can you imagine just sitting around the table and going, hey, guys, I've got this wonderful new game. Let's sit and stare at each other and not move or do anything.
I just don't know how... Yeah. There is no mass appeal to this, so I don't know how it was nominated for this award.
Well, I have to admit, I had a tiny, tiny little bit of fun because we tried it 3 or 4 times, and we gave it a bit of a go to say, well, let's go again and see if something develops. Let's play a couple of extra levels. Let's see if a shared experience starts to emerge, which made it fun,
and see if we get to figure each other out.
Yeah. And the thing is, we didn't, and it didn't really get much better.
No.
But I don't think a family's going to do that. They're going to throw it down. They're going to go, that's it. Gee, I'm glad I only paid 5 Deutschmarks for it or whatever. Chuck it out and go and play something else.
It does have a laser space bunny on the cover, though.
Yes, for some reason, the same reason that it has shurikens on it.
Well, I think we did solve the mystery of the arrows in the game, because if you look at the artist's Garth, you'll notice, if you can scroll down for me, it's Mr. Freudenreich. He did the art for The Mind.
Oh, really?
Whereas Mr. and... Well, I'm guessing it's Mr. and Mrs. They could be brother and sister. They could be parent and sibling or child. Who knows? Anyway, but Oliver Freudenreich, he did all the art for The Mind. Without Sandra, there's no arrows.
There's no arrows. Oh.
So clearly she was in charge of the arrows.
Oh. Well, we've cracked that mystery, which is right. The most exciting thing about this game, that we've cracked that mystery.
So, look, I would like to have liked The Mind, because it does seem like a simple concept. And look, it does become fun when you break the rules and you start to make, you know, twitches and blinking and all that kind of hoo-ha, which is against the rules.
Yeah.
But it makes the game a little, sorry, not the game, The Mind a bit more interesting.
Yeah, and the little, all those little noises and the...
And look, that must be said
palpitations.
That it's all over so quick that if you cock up and you don't win, you just reset. It takes 30 seconds and you start again. So if there was a mind gun to my head game, I would certainly play the game instead of The Mind, because there is at least a game in that, whereas I think The Mind is just an activity, as you say, Leon, But if I wanted to sit around a table and not talk to anyone else, let me play Magic Maze instead.
I know how we've talked before about, you know, it's kind of hard for some people that aren't into board games to kind of get into our show. Do you reckon this last 20 minutes has been the most glaring aspect of the ever? Because, oh, God.
Oh, no, I reckon when Mark does his rules explanations, it's...
That's a fair point. That's a fair point.
Anyway, Mark, that's me. That is what we played very, very recently. And obviously, we are very curious to see how the mind does in the SDJ Awards, which are not too far away. You're with the Dice Men Cometh on Edge Radio 99.3 FM.
That was our system of the down with Shimmy here on Edge Radio 99.3 FM, where you are listening to the Dice Men Cometh, and we're supported so kindly by Area 52. Get in there to check out all the latest games. You can get all your magic cards and Pokemon and...
And the Vanguard, that's a thing now. Yeah? And yeah, there's lots of those card games that all the kids are into.
Any of those card games you want, you can get them all there at Area 52.
Indeed, you certainly can. Now, so, yes, Mark.
I was going to say, we have recently come back, some people may not know, from a gaming convention held on the border of Victoria and New South Wales, Albury-Wodonga. It's held in the Albury part, as it were, because that's the New South Wales side and they win everything.
Go the Blues.
It's called Border Con because it's a con on the border. See what they did there?
It's brilliant, yeah.
And people who've listened to our show before will know it is one of our biggest gaming highlights of the year to go to Border Con because we get to do a road trip. We get to usually go to Melbourne for a night on the way over from little old Tassie. But mainly... We get to play games for pretty much 4 days with a whole bunch of lovely people, and it's just such an awesome time.
Yes. Sure is.
Yes, it is.
And we've got so many highlights and even some lowlights to talk about.
And, I mean, we should enjoy the fact that we're allowing ourselves to call it BorderCon because pretty soon we'll call it just because... We sound a bit like broken records.
Yes, because we'll do that anyway. We will be talking about it for a very, very long time.
Well, the great thing is, you know, for us, where we're producing a show weekly, we're always trying to play new games, so we've got new stuff to talk about. We got a whole bunch of games played that we are then able to talk about over the coming weeks.
Well, yes.
Which gives us a bit of a breather at first, but also means while we're talking about those games... We can go back to some of the games that we've played to play them a second time.
Well, just to put a number on it, we played, between the three of us, over 40 games that we had never played before.
Indeed.
Which is such a great use of 4 days of our lives. Yes. We certainly got to spend some time together, which is always nice. We got to spend some time apart and play games with all these friends, new and old, which is always wonderful as well.
Even nicer, yes.
Exactly. And we got to do it in the lovely, perfect environment of Albury, which put on its best gaming weather because it was cold and miserable for most of the time.
Yes, it certainly was.
We certainly didn't miss anything as far as the weather department goes, that's for sure.
No. So, who's running this break? Is this your break, Leon? Are you going to start with this?
Yeah, I'll run it. I'll slap you lads into place. So, what we're going to talk about in this little section is we're going to talk about the experience, the moments, because that's, people, is what life is all about. It's all about the moments and the experiences you have with your friends and loved ones and even yourselves. So, that's what we're going to talk about now. So, I will kick us off because why not?
Excellent.
So, the first one on my list
of
is
what?
Of experiences,
okay,
is the word luchador. Now, I'm a big fan of professional wrestling. Have I mentioned it?
Oh, no.
Well,
not at all.
Once this show already, and I normally every week try to slip it in there somewhere.
Still talking about wrestling?
Yes, luchador.
Okay. Hey!
Oh, no! That's not what you said last time. luchador, Mexican wrestling dice, is the only good wrestling board game in existence at the moment. And last year, it was introduced to me by our good friend Renee. Love Renee. And we played it with our Queensland friends of Aos and John. Had an absolute blast. Renee bought wrestling masks. We wore them. We got into it. We had half BorderCon watching us as we acted fools. So this year, naturally, a rematch had to occur. The title match had to go down again. So John, who won last year, the defending champion, he went into this cage match with the three of the rest of us. And it was, again, all out, mate. I brought my own mask this year because that's the kind of man that I am. And we went for it. And John was the first one eliminated. Ooh. I was gunning for him while Aos and Renee were over in the corner smacking each other around. And then they played the game as well. And so I eliminated John. So the champion was out. The champion was out of the match nearly straight away, and there was the three non-champions left in, so there was a guaranteed new BorderCon champion.
And there was a referee.
There was indeed a referee in full referee garb.
So the thing is, Eos from Townsville had not only brought one John, but he'd bogged off his Johns and he brought one free as well.
Yeah, no, not that John, the other John.
I know.
He brought that one as well, so that he was a referee. So he was out, and then me and Renee were like, oh, I thought, well, we're going to take down Eos, the Queensland boy, and then it'd be me and Renee, the two hardcore wrestling fans going at it. And Renee, he's just turned on me. As soon as my character was available to get pinned, I got Renee pinned me, and then I think literally the next turn, Eos is... as pin Renee, which actually happens in a lot of wrestling things. A swerve happens, everyone's confused, and oh, somebody's won out of the blue. And Eos, the one of us, granted, is the only one that actually looks like a professional wrestler, is now the BorderCon bloody world champion.
Wow.
So we're going to have to do it again next year, but next year we have decided it's going to be the tag team championship next year. And I'm going to team up with Renee, even though he stabbed me in the back. That's going to be us versus the dirty Queens.
Now, we've got to say, I mean, I know we've talked a little bit about this game in the past. When you say... they're smacking each other around in the corner, and you're pinned and everything. What you actually mean is...
we're throwing dice into into an actual cardboard ring where it has ropes and stuff. And it is awesome fun. I don't think I've actually done a proper what we've been playing on this before. I need to play this with some of my wrestling crew down here and talk about it again because it's really fun. So that was one of my highlights, as it hopefully will be for many years to come.
And look, if people want to check out what Leon and his compadres, his luchador compadres, look like... we posted a video on our Instagram account and also our Facebook page.
There's a lot of photos.
You can check out photos and the video there of them hyping up as wrestlers do before the match. Mm. Now, I've already mentioned one of probably my first highlight of BorderCon, which was meeting Rowan from Brave New Board Games in the Games Lab bar in Melbourne. Mm. It's always exciting to meet a listener, but then to see that, you know, he's been so inspired by us and other board game reviewers in Australia that he's going to put his own podcast together.
He didn't mention them, though, just us.
Really exciting for me. But the second thing I'll mention was we weren't alone in that car or in that hotel room. We had a special guest this year, someone who said, does anyone have a spare room, BorderCon? But he said it in such a nice way. That was Dan May from Starling Games. Now, many of you may not have heard of Dan before because he's not a famous designer, I guess, but you would know Polyhero Dice.
Sure do.
Fantastic dice on Kickstarter. We've spoken about them quite a few times. You would know amazing games like Black Orchestra.
Damn right.
Where Dan did a lot of the art design, some of the final putting together of the game itself. He's worked on a whole bunch of other games.
Nothing personal.
Oh, yes. I was going to say.
One of the Dice Men favourites.
Game Salute and now Starling Games. I think he's worked on the Whispers of War, which is a Kickstarter at the moment that's coming
Everdell,
out.
Yeah, Everdell, which is not too far away.
That's right. So a big gaming celebrity was in the car with us.
And he endured. He managed.
We were going to interview him on the drive on the way up.
Yeah. But he fell asleep.
But he'd been attending a virtual meeting, 3 a.m. that morning with his design team in America, and he slept all the way.
Yes.
Yeah. But he did eventually wake up.
He did wake up from time to time to do Leon's heavy metal phone roulette we normally play on the way up.
Exactly. But no, it was great to have Dan with us. It was great to spend some time with him, obviously talking to a designer and artist who knows the insides of how these games are designed and how much work goes into going, from an idea to an actual published game and taking the retail route, obviously taking the Kickstarter route as well. So it was very, very interesting. So, look, Leon.
Yes.
I'm going to take one from your list, purely because it's on my list as well.
It was the best 1 minute of BorderCon by a country mile.
Yeah, look, I don't normally cry in public.
No.
It must be said that my kids and most of the time my other half thinks that I am a robot.
Yes.
Without both emotion or feeling. On, was it Saturday night?
Yeah, I think it was Saturday night.
Let's call it Saturday night. We sat down around a table. There was you and me, Leon.
Yes.
There was Dan May.
Yes.
There was good friend of the show, Joe.
Yes.
There was Eos.
There was John.
There was John.
There was, no.
There that, was John, that, the that other John. John as well.
Yes.
And we were playing Spyfall 2.
Yes.
Now, Spyfall 2, really simple game. Deal out some cards. Every one of those cards has a location and a role. except for one, which has a spy card. And the role of the spy is to figure out where the hell everyone is. The role of everyone else is to figure out who's the spy. Whoever gets that right first, their side wins.
Simple as.
Pretty simple.
Great party game.
Now, I love this game. We'd been playing it a couple of rounds, and where we'd been, in a coal mine, we'd been at a chocolate factory.
To which I was a canary in the coal mine, which I acted out 100%.
Do you want to do a little bit of role play, Leon, and channel your inner canary?
And I answered questions like that until I inevitably died.
And I think that's what gave it away.
Yeah. No, I still think we won that round. Either way.
So, look, we were sitting around and, you know, as it is, whoever won the last round, they have to get the next deck of cards, shuffle them up and hand them out. And I think it was you, Leon.
It was me that did it.
So Leon shuffles it out, passes cards to everyone. We all take a sneaky secret look, because you've got to keep your cards to yourself. You don't want to taking a peek.
And even though I just won the last round, I ended up being the spy.
Yes.
I was the spy. So straight away I asked our good friend Jo next to us, I asked her a question like, how are you feeling today? And she put on this real posh voice and said about how happy she was during that day. And I looked at the board in front of us, which has all the locations, and I went, I think we might be at the wedding, but I'm going to try and suss this out a bit more. So after that, everybody started asking each other questions. Everyone was being really cagey, asking questions, but no one was being too here, there, or the other.
No, well, Jo, in her best posh voice, said, Eos, what kind of shoes are you wearing on this wonderful day today?
Yeah.
And Eos would say, well, I am wearing shoes that you would consider formal or relaxed.
Yes. So we were like, oh, very, very interesting. So we did this for 3.5 minutes.
Correct. Out of a round of how long does each round go?
7 or 8 minutes, I think. Yeah. So we went around the table and did all of that. And then somebody asked Jo something else. She put on that posh voice again. And I went, you know what? I'm going to have a crack.
Exactly. Because Leon's style, for anyone who has ever played Spyfall,
he has
or
a style.
Will ever play.
Oh, I've got style.
Is that he will role play, as you've experienced with his wonderful canary.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And if he doesn't role play, it's kind of a bit of a tell. You can kind of tell that Leon's, you know, whatever wheels are in that sort of brain of his are going. Trying to figure out where they are.
Mm.
He hadn't been role-playing too much.
No. Yeah.
But he also has a very big history of just going, you're in the blue, throwing away his spy card, putting it out in the middle of the table, making sure it's a grand gesture.
And I have always been right every time I've done that, because I know not to splash the pot unless the pot needs splashing.
So you did that.
Yes, I did.
Because you were the spy.
I was the spy. And then there was a 2 or 3 second hesitation. And then everyone else turned their cards over at the table. And everybody was the spy. Because in Spyfall 2, there is a variant where you can play with a second spy, where the two spies are working together and you can play with like 12 people instead of the normal 8. And I had picked up a deck that was in the box of the decks you could pick, because they're all just decks that have the spy on one side and you can't see the rest of the cards. So I'd picked up a deck that was all the secondary spies that had been taken out of all the other decks, not knowing at all, handing them all out to everybody. So for 3.5 bloody minutes, every single person at that table was the spy. I would have loved to have been somebody watching us and watching the eyes darting around the table and everyone going, well, that doesn't. And I got confident enough to them. And because Jo just made. She just looked at the thing and went, I'm going to pretend I'm at the wedding, even though I'm a spy. We could have been the coal mine again. And she's just like, oh, yes, I love it here. It's a great day. And we all collectively lost our minds.
Did we ever?
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
It was, as you say, Leon, the best minute of BorderCon by far. We had at least half of the table in absolute tears, including myself.
A whole group of grown people just laughing and crying. It was unbelievable.
Well, look, I'll jump in next, fellas, because for me, and I'm going to stay on the role-playing train, we had the winners of our competition, Michelle and Brennan, who had travelled all the way from Perth. I think they are actually the first people ever from Western Australia to go to BorderCon. So that was huge for BorderCon and for them. They made a huge effort because, of course, we gave them the tickets, but we didn't give them anything else. So they had to pay for flights and accommodation and get up from Melbourne on the train. It was a bit of a debacle. Their hotel went missing.
Yeah.
So it was awesome to meet them. They've been listening to the show right from the very early days.
And even going through all that, and it goes to show, and it's something that always warms our hearts, what absolutely lovely people they are as well. Just like every single fan we've ever met, couldn't say a bad word.
You're all so lovely out there in Radio Land.
Except for you, and we know who you are.
So, meeting Michelle and Brennan. I thought he was looking at me, actually. He was playing the mind with us. Michelle and Brennan was a huge highlight, watching them have an awesome time. But then the thing that won them the competition was their description of playing Snake Oil. And that's what the game that they wanted to play with us at Bordercon. So we played Snake Oil.
We did.
Not only did we play Snake Oil with Michelle and Brennan, but also our very good friends Richard and Sarah. Now, we all role-played a bit with Snake Oil. You know, we sort of got into it a bit.
Because Snake Oil is the game where you're trying to sell something to a
person. Yeah, you're pitching a product.
You've got a random set of cards. You've got to combine two of those to come up with something that'll appeal to the one player who has randomly drawn a character, and they might be a zombie, or they might be a runner, or they might be a lawyer, or they might be a who knows what, and everyone's going to go around the table
saying... Yeah, you're trying to sell a leg net or an umbrella hat or a... What was one of them I tried to sell was like Misfit College or something like that. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just putting together basically two random words. But Richard, our good friend Richard, he so got into it. Mm. I don't know if I've ever seen him so agitated and so excited to be selling his imaginary products. So the whole experience of that game, watching Michelle and Brennan having an awesome time playing the game that they brought with them all the way from Perth, that to me was fantastic.
And on top of it, for myself, Snake Oil itself, absolute belter of a party. I can't believe that. I looked into it. There's been three different versions of this game. All of them are really hard to find now. This is a game that, I mean, you can't really put it on. I suppose you put it on Kickstarter as like a collective edition, because all those three editions all have completely different things in them.
Yeah.
They all different jobs, different word cards and stuff. This is a game that a lot more people should have in their party game collection. It just needs to be made more readily available.
All right. Well, we're going to cut to a little song,
mm-hmm.
and then we're going to continue talking about these experiences of Bordercon, and then we might switch it into a couple of other things. Mm. So, where the Dice Men cometh, it is Edge Radio 99.3 FM, and I'm sorry, but you've got to listen to some more of Leon's music.
Thank you. You're all welcome.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we'll be starting off with Elders.
Hey, Mark.
Garth.
Have you heard all the horrible stuff that happens on Friday the 13th?
It's a scary time, as far as I understand.
Well, let me tell you that there is at least one good thing that's going to be happening on Friday the 13th, which is only a matter of weeks away.
Yeah?
It is LFG.
LFG?
As in, looking for games.
I'm looking for games.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, what are you doing on the 13th to the 15th of July in Bankstown, Sydney?
I'm going to be there.
What?
I decided to go to Bankstown for the weekend.
That is the best coincidence I have heard all morning.
I'll say.
Because on that particular weekend, Friday the 13th till Sunday the 15th of July, LFG, or Looking for Gamers, Sydney, is hosting their 3-day tabletop event.
Really?
Can you believe your luck?
That's crazy.
It's like we paid for tickets and flew you up there or something for for some reason.
Well, I might as well go and play some games then.
Well, you are in luck, because not only are there games demonstrations, they're open late every single day, there's casual gaming.
Oh, and I'm pretty casual.
No one gets more casual than you. But Mark, if you feel like wearing your competition pants, you can even do that.
A competition?
Not just one, but two.
Oh, really? I get to play against other people, like, what, for money and stuff?
Well, I don't know if there's any money involved, but you can play Rummy Cub. Or can you?
Maybe years ago, perhaps, but I'd certainly give it a crack, particularly if I had the chance to be, say, the Australian champion.
Well, not just that, because that competition is also going to be running at LFG.
Ooh.
You can also play Clask, which is that game where you stick your hands under the little table and move it around using magnets.
Oh, I've seen that. I've never played it. Wow, I'll have to give it a crack.
Well, you might not just give it a crack. You might be the Australian championship
Woo-hoo!
Winner. Now, there is also a design masterclass, so maybe you can learn how to play a game. You're also going to be doing those RPGs. And you love playing RPGs, but never being a DM.
Yes.
So maybe that'll spur you on to become the Dungeon Master of all.
Do you think there might be some demonstrations there from new games, Garth?
I reckon there would be, because there is even the Protospiel, which is all those new designers getting out and showing you their designs, and you get to go, wow, that's interesting. Or, oh yeah, can I play that? And anywhere in between.
Fantastic. I love meeting new designers. I love playing new games. I love playing old games. I love meeting new people. I love giving away custom dice.
Oh, well, we have quite a few of those left from BorderCon. But look, it's only a couple of weeks away. It's the 13th of July, which is Friday, which is now lucky for all. Not unlucky for anybody. So if you are anywhere near the Sydney area on that particular weekend, make sure you head to LFG. It is being held at the Bankstown Sports Club. You can jump onto the LFG website, which is simply lfg-aus.com.au. They've got the link there. You can buy your tickets. You can buy a full weekend pass. And fortunately or unfortunately, have the privilege of playing a game with Mark from that famous Australian tabletop podcast.
Oh, yes. And you know, if you buy your tickets online, you can save up to 50% off the door price. There's Friday night gaming. You can grab a weekend pass. You get to play games with me. I'll be walking around wearing my Dice Man Cometh hoodie. I'd love to give you a custom die. I'd love to meet you all. And Sydney gamers, here's the challenge to you. You know those Melbourne gamers? They talk about your BorderCon and they say you don't get out in numbers. Get out in numbers, I say!
So there you go. That's LFG, Friday the 13th till Sunday the 15th of July 2018. Be there and be square.
I'll see you there.
Woo!
And that was TISM with All Ordinaries Index on... Oh, I forgot where we are. Edge Radio 99.3. I'm looking at a giant flag of it right now. Edge Radio 99.3 FM with the Dice Men cometh, proudly brought to you by our good friends at Area 52. Go in there and buy all the colourful things. They have lots of games for sale, and we buy them all most of the time from them.
Now, I was just talking about our very good friends Richard and Sarah. That leads me to one of my other highlights. Firstly, that Richard in particular taught us and me a lot. Many of the games, he'd listened to our episode where we talked about the games we were wanting to play at BorderCon,
yep.
And he took a whole bunch of them along, of course, because he liked them, but also to give us a chance to learn them and play them, which was fantastic. So thank you so much, Richard. I wanted to give you a special shout-out for the huge effort that you made. And one of my absolute highlights was Richard had taught me Burano, which is Inca and Marcus Brand again.
Oh, okay.
They have not let a foot go wrong. About the island in Venice where they make glass, a sort of a middleweight Euro game. We're playing it very late at night. And on my very last turn, where I was thinking, I'm not doing very well with this, I made a move that made Richard scream out a curse word, which I can't say on radio.
Sounded a bit like fudge.
At the top of his voice, and I just about fell off my chair.
Because the whole convention heard it, at least in one of the two rooms.
Oh, yes. And, you know, look, it was because I'd basically foiled one of his plans.
You'd fudged his turn.
By accident. On the very last turn of the game.
Lovely work.
I'm pretty sure he still won. or maybe not. I can't remember now because it was very late at night. But look, thank you so much, Richard, for teaching us those games. And thank you for giving me that most memorable moment of BorderCon.
Yes.
Excellent. So, look, continuing on the Richard and Sarah train, it is becoming a bit of a tradition that we have Cosmic Encounter.
Yes.
So far, the only two times I've played it in the last 2 years have been the two weekends at BorderCon.
Oh, that's a crime.
I know. It's not good. However, we sat down Saturday morning. Mark, you joined us.
Garth, I did.
So there was Richard and Sarah, there was Mark, there was myself, there was Brennan, and there was also Michelle, our prize winners, and then there was Dan May, Salute Dan May.
What an all-star game of Cosmic Encounter that I wasn't involved in because I was busy.
You were
doing
busy.
Doing something important.
Well, something else anyway. So look, we played it pretty hard. You know, everyone was generally going to be an orange or a red alien, which are the most game-breaky out of them. And look, Cosmic is all about negotiation, and it's the best game of the world, and everyone loves it, including Mark now.
And he's back in the top 100 on BGG. Woo! God damn it.
But I guess the moment I really loved is that Sarah was attacking me. God knows why. I'm innocent.
Maybe because the card flipped over said she had to.
Yeah, but she could fudge that. and through a whole bunch of negotiations, she had invited both her husband, Richard, and Mark, who were both one little planet away from winning, and she'd invited them to be her allies. They were all over that. They wanted a bit of Planet Garth. And then through sheer audacity and sheer bloody mindedness, Sarah and I had agreed to negotiate so that those bloody guys could just get out of my face. We could talk about it. We could exchange a colony for a colony. It all went well. Except one of us didn't play a bloody negotiate card, did they, Garth Gray? Thank you very much.
That's the way to do it.
And I won the battle. All of the ships of Sarah's, plus the ships of her allies, had to go to the warp. It was brilliant. I don't care whether Sarah always meant to do that and negotiate. I loved that moment because it stopped Mark from getting a win.
Yes, and then Sarah and Richard teamed up for the husband-wife win.
Yeah,
yes.
Which I don't think they've done in a while, but that was awesome. Now, just very, very quickly, I want to do another highlight, which is about the Hoveltree Inn,
yes. Yeah.
Which is the venue. I want to say...
It's no hovel.
I want to say thank you very much. After several years, they have FBOS facilities now. And that's wonderful because you don't always have to walk across the road to the local service station to take money out to be able to buy a beverage or a food. Except I didn't realise it till late on Sunday night.
But then you took full advantage with a big old bottle of red.
I know. Yeah. So thank you, Hoveltree Inn, for getting FPOS. Please let it never disappear.
Yes. Well, one of my highlights that I didn't get to have, because I missed out, was playing this Thanos game that I've heard so much about. And I know we're not going to talk about it in detail right now, but any game with a massive statue of Thanos in the middle of the game. I mean, how tall is it? Like tall?
It's about yay by yay.
Yeah. It's a decent old Thanos-type statue.
And then another board that's just a big old fist.
It is. Well, Mark, you should listen to a Tasmanian-based board game podcast because we may talk about it at some point in the future.
I'll look forward to that.
Yes.
Leon.
Right. I'm going to hammer through my last couple I've got on the list here. So, two of the knights... right at about midnight, I played Time's Up with about 10 other people. Yeah. Now, Time's Up is a brilliant game. It's known a lot of people by monikers at the moment, but Time's Up Total Recall was one that's been out for a fair few years. We played a custom version because all you need to play this game is some sheets and paper and a pencil and a bit of creativity and a 30-second timer, which we all have on our phone. It absolutely rivals, I think, Telestration as the party game. Mm-hmm. I think between these two, there's no competition with anybody else. And yeah, two times, the Sunday night, I was going to go to bed because I was feeling a bit rough, and I said, Leon, we need a 12th. You got to do it. And then I stayed up till 3 in the bloody morning playing.
No one says no to Aos.
No, it's hard to. He's such a good-looking man.
Well, if you can never get beyond the hair, you don't, don't actually know what he looks like.
Don't you hate it when people are decent-looking and they hide it behind all the facial...
He's a wringer.
Yeah, it's...
Anyway, so look...
So that was Time's Up.
And I played in that very first game with you as well. It was brilliant. And all we had to do was we just had to write down famous people and... assume that at least some other people would know who they are. So, because the whole point is, you know, you want to make it fun. And, you know, Time's Up is one where the first round, you can say everything except what's on the card. The second round, you can say one word. The third round, you have to do a charade.
Yep.
And then the fourth round, which is optional, but we did play at least the first night. Yep. Did you do it the second night?
No, we didn't because it was already 3 in the morning.
And that's where you do statues.
Ah, yes.
And it was hilarious.
Yes, much fun had by you. And then another thing I did on one of the days was I played a game of Gloom. Now, a lot of people out there will know that game of Gloom.
Gloomhaven?
No, Gloom. I didn't play Gloomhaven because that game is rubbish. I played Gloom with...
Which is not rubbish.
With three of my favouritest Peachels. They're all Peachels. They know they are. with Joe, Rachel, and Leah. And with Gloom, it's a game that can take about 10 minutes. But we really got into the role-playing of this game, where every time we played a single card, we spent about 5 minutes giving a backstory about the horrible thing we were about to do. And this game took about 3 hours. And it was absolutely brilliant. And by the end of it, we had three or four people watching us in hysterics themselves, laughing at the ridiculous things that we were doing.
Wow.
So I enjoyed that immensely.
So glad I wasn't involved in that. Look, Mark, how was your Saturday morning at BorderCon?
Saturday morning?
Yeah.
Before BorderCon even.
Before we even went to BorderCon, because you contributed to one of my highlights of BorderCon.
I can't remember anything special about it.
Oh, I can remember it. Let me give you a full audio trail, which is... Now, it's fair to say...
That's right, I'd had that...
that ginger ale.
Off scallops the night before.
No, you had a couple of too many glasses of ginger ale,
and
I reckon,
pretend
Mark.
Poison wine.
You weren't too healthy that Saturday morning, were you?
Let's just say... breakfast was hard to stomach.
Well, we were the final people. We were the last men standing on the Friday night with our good friend Renee. Exactly. We were the last there to leave the shop on the Friday after we'd been driving all bloody day. We still got there.
Now, the plus side of Mark and his Technicolor dream coat was that Leon and I had to fill in for a little bit of an appointment that Mark had with James talking about his game that is currently the working title, Drift Kings.
Mm-hmm.
May not be the final title, but it's basically a racing game where you've got a beautiful big race car board, you've got kind of the movement style of X-Wing, I guess, an Armada, and you're sort of laying out your first, second, third, fourth, fifth gears, and they're varying lengths of stuff that allows you to go around the track. And you've really got to time your cornering correctly. You can do your handbrake turns. And he was kind enough to show off his prototype of that to us, and we played a demo game of that. I was really pleasantly surprised with that game. This game is still arguably 6 months plus away from going out to, through Good Games Publishing, through, you know, the Kickstarter option.
Mm.
But it was looking really schmick. I think once they iron out a few wrinkles, that's going to be a game to watch later on this year or early next year.
You're just happy that you won because you were coming dead last the whole time.
Well, look, I was coming third for the whole lap until it was a race to see who could pass the finish line the most. And look, I must say, I think James maybe erred on the side of giving it to me because I was the best looking at the table.
Anyway, look, thank you so much to James Allen for giving you guys a look at that. And I did see it later the next day while he was playing it with some other people. He did give it quite a few cracks over the weekend. It looked like to get pretty good reception.
Mm.
Exactly.
So one of the things I've got here, just a quick one, I've got down dinner and people.
Yeah.
Because two of the nights, the Friday night, the first night we were there, and the Saturday, Friday night we went to the River Deck, which is a restaurant in the park just across the road, which has become a tradition of going there with our friends. First time we went to Bordercon and did that, there was five or six of us. Next year there was seven or eight of us. This year, and then also the dinner the next night at the actual Hoveltree Inn restaurant, we had about 15, 16 people there. All great friends, all sitting around. We played a bit of werewords between some of us, and it was just an absolute... And that's the whole point of this, is that with these people there, this wouldn't be what it is. And just having dinner with all them, they know who they are, and it was, yeah, it was something that I won't be forgetting anytime soon.
Oh, it's brilliant. And look, I do also love the fact that we took over a bag of very exclusive Dice Men Cometh dice.
Yes.
Which were hot off the presses from, God, where? Somewhere in America?
Yeah.
Chessex custom dice.
We managed to get rid of all bag of 100 dice.
Mm.
I think there was only one person in all of Bordercon who got more than one, and that was Brendan, who was lucky enough to win a dice tower made by friend of the show, Justin, in the charity raffle.
Oh, that's right.
Which I was, you know, I put half a dozen dice in just to complete the prize. Yes. So I reckon we probably got dice to about half of the whole Bordercon community, and those that didn't get dice, chances are they got a take-backsy card because there was a few of those kicking around. That was awesome because everyone wanted one, and that was lovely that we're able to give something away to friends, listeners, gamers.
Yeah. All right, now I wanted to mention a few games, and I think we'll go around and do a few things, but I had three here that I wrote down as a heading of good, but... dot, dot, dot.
Ooh.
We've already talked about one of them, Cosmic Encounter.
Yeah.
So for me, that was good, but there was probably a few too many players for me to enjoy it, which just made it more random, more back and forth.
How can you criticize Cosmic for being more random?
I don't know. How can he be more wrong than Marcus?
Anyway,
he manages it every week.
We mentioned last week Gunshon Clever, which I think was good, but only with two players.
Mm-hmm.
And then one more I want to mention is Decrypto.
Mm.
I'm not going to go into it in detail because I'm sure we're going to talk about it again sometime. It was good, but I think you really want to play with the timer.
Yep.
Because in our game, we all probably spent too much time making up clever clues, which made the game drag a bit. Yep. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, you really don't want a party game to drag.
Yeah, pretty much. The one surprise I've got down here was that... Our good friend from Canberra, Suey, got me. He said, "You want to come over and play Tulip Bubble?" And I said, "Pardon?" And he said, "Tulip Bubble."
He called you Bubble, did he?
Well, he knows me only too well. And it's a game about bidding was about the tulip bubble crisis, which was the first, like, equivalent of the stock market crash, like, 300 years
ago. Involving tulips.
Yeah. And I was like, that sounds utterly nonsense. And I just showed it to him, and I was like, oh, that looks bland. And then I played it. It was actually a really fun game. It's pretty much just all bidding games and set collection and stuff like that. But it was really, really enjoyable. And it's a game that if you'd put 1,000 games in front of me, I wouldn't have picked that even in the top 900 of them.
No, because it's really not that good looking, I don't
think. No. But it ended up being a fun game.
It had some pretty tulips.
Yeah, so Tulip Bubble, one to have a quick look at.
All right, so we're doing surprises. We're doing good butts, hey?
Mm.
Well, I would say that there was a good butt with Whistle Stop by
really?
Bezier Games, because it was good, but the best part of the game was seeing how miserable Mark was.
Oh.
He got wrangled in at the last minute. He took over Leah's place because she wasn't feeling it. Did you like it, Mark?
No, I didn't. I put it on my list here in the not so great. And look, what contributed to was that I missed three or four of the rules. And I felt like I'd ask some questions later during the game to get some clarification. But I didn't quite get the clarification. When it came to end of game scoring, I had got some misinformation, or at least I'd misheard the information.
Yeah, so anyway, and speaking of things that didn't go down too well, the games of Bordercon, I think, this year, the ones that were constantly on the table was Raja of the Ganges was everywhere.
Absolutely.
Heaps of copies of that. And then the other big one, probably the biggest one, was Altiplano, which was a game that was constantly played. It was the first game we played when we got there. We were looking forward to it. We sat down with a good friend, Bo, the other Tasmanian that was there, and we played that, and we all hated it.
Yeah, we played it, and then this game is not a three-hour game.
No.
There's a fair chance we're not going to talk about this game because we've spent enough time with it already, but I think our collective opinion was, and this is a bag-building game.
Yeah.
The last third of this game's really interesting and really fun. You've got lots of actions to do and you've got lots of decisions to make. It's just the hour and a half that leads up to that is a very slow burn.
Yeah,
and look, it's an attractive-looking game. It does have a cardboard alpaca.
It was, like I said, our opinion, very different than everybody else that was there. Everybody else was a big fan of it, but it just didn't do anything for us.
It was strange. No. I don't know how it ended up that way. But look, I also had a surprise. A good surprise, World Monuments.
Now,
we played this with Renee on the very last day, on the Monday before we left. Look, you know, from Queen Games, very simple box. You were running out of time. It was a lovely surprise. We haven't even talked about the games we loved.
Well, we've got plenty of time. We've got next week to talk about Bordercon.
Oh, okay.
Still, we're in the embargo period. So, look, we are the Dice Men Cometh. It's Edge Radio 99.3 FM. We have got to get out of here for another week. We've got to go play some games.
Yes.
And we will be back next week, as always, thanks to Area 52. So I've been... Who have I been? Garth.
Garth.
I've been Leon, I believe.
I've been Mark.
And we are out of here. Bye.
Booyah.
You've been listening to another episode of The Dice Men Cometh. Thanks to Area 52, Hobart's best ventilated game store, and more. Find out more on area52.com.au. They support the Dice Men, and you can too, at Patreon for as little as just $1 per month. It's not a lot to ask for podcasting gold.